Thank you, Brother Bill, for those songs. Did you notice all the songs that he sang so far were about heaven? Well, that was by design, and I thank him for that. So it is my pleasure to stand before you this morning, and I want to thank all of you for being here, especially our visitors. And we truly want you to know that you're always an honored guest here at Prairie Village, and please come back every chance you get. I do invite you to open your Bibles and follow along with me. As always, I don't want you to take my word. I don't want you to take any man's word, only the word of God, which of course is the Bible. Be like those noble Bereans who searched the scriptures daily, whether those things that were said were true. Every one of us here this morning are only a breath away from eternity. And just as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting there, I know that Paul said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. And I know this as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting there, that Peter said in 2 Peter 3:10, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up." And I know just as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting there, that it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that the judgment. Hebrews 9:27. And I know just as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting there, that God is in heaven. "Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool." Isaiah 66 and verse 1. And I know just as sure as I'm standing here and you're sitting there, that heaven is the home of the faithful. Jesus said, "Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Matthew 5:12. Now, my friends, I've said all this to lead into my favorite subject, heaven, the home of the faithful. On the dawning of that great day, there will be a multitude of people who will rouse themselves from sleep at the sounding of the alarm clock. They'll shower, they'll shave, they'll brush their teeth, they'll eat their breakfast and leave their home to take care of the duties of the day. Having already spoken to the Lord in prayer and secure in the belief that if this is the day that Jesus comes, even so, come Lord Jesus. There is no fear in the hearts of these people, just an eager anticipation. And do you know why? Because they're ready. They're ready. They knew and they believed that they were not going to be on this old earth forever. They know and they believe that it and all the works therein were going to be burned up. They knew and they believed that if they lived their lives in obedient love of Jesus, that they'd have a wonderful eternal home awaiting them. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul spoke of a home which is written, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Eternal in the heavens. That's the home that's awaiting us, brothers and sisters. Indeed, this home was described by Peter in 1 Peter 1 and verse 4 as an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Heaven is what they've been looking for, and Jesus' coming will take them there. Have you ever really been looking forward to a trip? Maybe you were going home after being gone for a long time to see your mom and dad. All the arrangements have been made. You have talked to your parents and they know you're coming, and they might even say, "We'll get everything ready just for you." You can picture your mom cleaning the house, getting the room ready with new clean linens on the bed. If they have an extra bathroom that you will use, you know that it'll be crisp new towels in there, washcloths, and the bathtub will have been scrubbed out. Everything will be made ready just for you. That knowledge even serves to build your anticipation higher. Well, the greatest trip that we will ever make will be our trip home to heaven. All faithful Christians are going to make that trip, and everything, and I mean everything, will be ready for our arrival. Turn with me to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, you talk about preparation. Jesus said in verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Oh, brethren, let me tell you, brethren, no place will ever compare to the home in heaven that Jesus is preparing for those who love Him. I can think of nothing that I want more than to use my reservation. Remember that Peter said it was reserved in heaven for me and to take up my residence there? Well, why did you say that, Peter? Why? Well, there are many reasons he said that. Let me give you some of them. First, heaven is eternal. It will never, never end. Turn to Revelation, the 22nd chapter. Revelation 22. As I said, heaven is eternal. It will never end. Revelation 22 and verse 14. "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they might have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." So you might say, what is the significance of the tree of life? What is the significance of it? Well, look with me in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22. Here we're told, Genesis 3 and verse 22, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." So, brethren, the significance is to eat of the tree of life is to live forever. And in heaven, we will have the right to that tree of life. I can remember days with my family. They were just wonderful. Thoroughly enjoyable. Everything went just right. Even the kids got along. And the day would wind down and I'd be wishing that it'd never end. But I knew it would. I knew it was going to end. The glorious home in heaven where every day and everything will always be just right will never, never, never end. Can we possibly on this side of eternity comprehend and appreciate that as we should? Heaven will be a place of righteousness. Or to put it another way, it will be a place of no sin. Come with me to Revelation chapter 21. And you might want to put your ribbon or a marker there because we're going to look at Revelation 21 quite a bit. Revelation chapter 21. As I said, heaven will be a place of righteousness. It will be a place of no sin. In Revelation 21 and verse 27, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." This, my friends, are faithful Christians, and won't that be wonderful? That's who's going to be there. Let me ask you, brethren, do you ever get tired of sin? Do you get tired of immorality? Don't you get tired of a constant bombardment of sex of all varieties? Premarital, extramarital, just plain old perverted sex. Don't you get tired of it in the TV and the internet and books and movies and music and so on? Don't you get tired of profanity, tired of cheating, tired of stealing, tired of drugs, tired of drinking, tired of lying, tired of unscrupulous business practices, and tired of just plain old dishonesty? Don't you get tired of gossip, tired of meanness, tired of unfaithfulness, tired of dirty politics? Don't you sometimes just get plain old sick and tired of it all? Well, I do, and I know that you do too. In Revelation 21, verses 22 and 23 tells us, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are in the temple of it. And the city had no need of sun, neither of the moon to shine it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." In heaven, my brothers and sisters, we will be with God, and there'll be no legislative bodies legalizing sin, and I can't wait to get there. Heaven will be a place of unsurpassing beauty. A little girl was looking up at the sky filled with stars, and her father asked her, "What are you thinking about?" And she replied, "You know, Dad, that if the top of heaven is as pretty as the bottom, I want to go there, don't you?" Heaven will be a spiritual place, a place where nothing corruptible will be found. Yet it is with physical images that the beauty of heaven is conveyed to us, so that we must realize that words will never, never do it justice, even when the words present a picture of almost unsurpassing beauty. Please come with me to Revelation 21, and let's look now at verses 10 through 13. John wrote, "And he carried me away into the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates." Now skip down, if you would, to verses 18 through 21. "And building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprase, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the streets of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass." So you see here, brethren, God used the most beautiful and precious things known to the world at that time to describe the home of the saved. Don't you wonder sometime, think about this, don't you sometimes wonder why anyone would want to trade what lies ahead in heaven for the cheap and temporary things of this world? Think about that. And brethren, heaven will be a place of joy. It will be a place of joy. Let's look together at verse 4 of Revelation 21. It's a familiar passage, yet one I think can never become commonplace. It's one of my favorite passages. It says in verse 4 of Revelation 21, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Do you know that of two things that you will never see in heaven? Two things you'll never see in heaven: cemeteries and hospitals. There'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more pain, and there'll be no more death. There'll be no more long and trying nights lying awake sick with worry and stress. There'll be no more funeral processions, no more cheeks streaked with tears and eyes puffy and red from sobbing. There'll be no more widows or widowers wondering how they're ever going to go on. There'll be no more goodbyes. Heaven will be a place of rest. This life is not time for rest. We must work while it is day, and the night cometh when no man can work, according to Jesus in John 9 and verse 4. Now I know if we're faithful in our service to the Lord, we're going to get tired occasionally, brethren, but we can't quit. We know that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Turn back to Revelation chapter 14 for just a moment. Revelation 14. Turn back to Revelation 14 and listen to these words of encouragement in verse 13. The Bible says, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them." It is a wonderful and comforting thing to know that our labors will be remembered and follow us. Or it might be a frightening feeling. Each of us need to think about it. People talk about resting when retirement comes. And then inevitably, they all say they're busier now than they were when they were working. But in heaven, we all have ceased from our labors here on earth. Heaven, what a place to retire to. Who will be in heaven? Well, most of all, heaven will be wonderful because of who will be there. Will we know one another in heaven, you may ask? Yes. The answer is philosophical, perhaps, but I emphatically answer yes, indeed. We will know one another in heaven. For with what sense of preparation we died, with the same we will be raised, else what purpose is this earthly life? Yes, we will know and we will be known. We will have a new body, but the mind will be the one that we had, the one we prepared especially for this event. Who will be there? Who will be in heaven? Well, the grand fellowship will assemble there. The noble of the ages, the great of God, the grandest of the grand, and the best of the best will be there. I know each family here can think of someone that they know in their family that will be there. I know that my Uncle Henry is going to be there. I know some gospel preachers that will be there. Grover Stevens, Roy Cogdell. And many more of devoted gospel preachers, too numerous to name, will be there. I know that our brother Don Dillon will be there. My mother will be there, along with my sister-in-law Janice, Jane's sister. My dad will be there, and we'll talk about things that we did. His legs will be strong again, his steps lively again. Peter will speak how he walked on water. Moses will explain the parting of the sea, and John will tell of the leaning on the breast of the Savior. We'll hear Stephen and Philip and Apollos and Barnabas and James as they preach about Jesus and His salvation. Brethren, the best of all, we will see Jesus. Jesus who loved us. Jesus who lives for us. Jesus who died for us. What a Savior. What a Savior. And we'll say, "Show us the Father." And He will. What will we do in heaven? Well, I don't know what all we will do in heaven, but I do know that we will not be dormant or inactive. Revelation 22 and verse 3 says, "And His servants shall serve Him." We will be involved in worshiping, adorning, and glorifying God for eternity. Brethren, if we do not enjoy worshiping God and having fellowship with one another, we're not fit for heaven. I just wonder if some of us would even be happy if we made it there. Sometimes you wonder about, because of the attitude we have seen worshiping God and about one another. So think about that, brethren. Now the scriptures that we have read paints a beautiful picture of heaven. But wait a minute now. Wait just a minute. There are barriers to heaven. It's not automatic. Now, barrier is an obstacle that in some ways restrict. There are some things that will definitely keep folks out of heaven. And first of all, pride is one of them. Pride is a barrier to heaven. Sometimes pride keeps folks from seeking after God. The psalmist said, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts," in Psalms 10 and verse 4. Those filled with pride will just not humble themselves enough to seek after God and retain God in their thoughts. Pride fills the heart in a way that one is deceived into thinking that he's just too high to fall. If pride is allowed to have its way in your life, it will serve as a barrier to heaven. Lack of Bible knowledge is a barrier to heaven. And you know how I feel about that. We always start most of our classes with study, study, study. Study your Bible. The prophet Hosea tells us in Hosea 4:6 that God destroyed some of His people for lack of knowledge. He destroyed them because of lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. But you cannot obey that which you do not know, can you? And if we don't know, we can't do it. And if we fail to do it, we'll not be able to go to heaven. It's just that simple. Think about it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, if you would. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." So you can't do the will of the Father if you don't know the will of the Father. So you must study it. So please do not let lack of Bible knowledge keep you out of heaven. Study your Bibles. Come to Bible class. And if you need personal one-on-one lessons, let me know after our service. Loving the praise of men more than of God is a barrier to heaven. Most people have an ego problem. Men are tempted to please those who fill their egos with what they like to hear. The desire to be heard of men led some in the days of Jesus to sound a trumpet before they prayed in the streets that they may have the glory of men. Jesus said that in Matthew 6 and verse 2. Loving the praise of men more than the praise of God sometimes keeps elders from doing their jobs as elders and keeps preachers and teachers from laying it on the line like it ought to be. Look at Galatians chapter 1 with me. Galatians chapter 1, if you would. Galatians chapter 1. We need to all develop the attitude expressed by Paul when he said in verse 10, "For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ." Brethren, worldliness. Worldliness is a barrier to heaven. Worldly and lust and pride that is allowed to dictate to us rather than be governed by the Word of God will keep us out of heaven. Some are quick to say, but preacher, we live in the world and we cannot keep from being a part of it. But this is so. This is true. But it's like the situation with the ship. The ship is in the water, but when the water gets into the ship, there will be problems. Worldliness gets into church members and they begin to miss services. They begin to drink socially and so on. And they are no more value to the church. If this continues, worldliness will be a barrier to heaven. Denominationalism is a barrier to heaven. It's been told that there's over 20,000 denominations in the world today. Each one of those have different and differing lessons on salvation, and they offer men's creeds and so on. Denominations has taught us that anything is all right with God just as long as we're honest and sincere. That is not what the Bible says. They teach that God is just too good to allow any to be lost. That's not what He says either. A failure of denominational churches to teach the truth causes many to obey a false doctrine. This is a barrier to heaven. If you're a member of a denomination, get out of it now, this very morning. And you do that becoming a member of the Lord's church, the only church you read about in the Bible. Sin is a barrier to heaven. You might remember sin drove Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3. Sin kept many of God's people out of the land of Canaan, and sin separated man from God. It seems that today many think, well, sin's not just not as bad as it used to be. We need to realize that sin is sin, and that every generation needs to be taught what sin is and what sin will do for them. I've heard it said that sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay, and sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Truer words were never spoken. Sin is a barrier to heaven, so we must be on guard every minute of every hour of every day in order to reach heaven, the home for Christians. Yes, brothers and sisters, whatever heaven will be like, it will be the home for Christians and an end to the struggles of this life. And yes, there is one eternal day coming when we shall be with our Savior in all His splendor and glory and majesty. And it will be at that moment that God will wipe away all tears and pain from our souls, and all the mysteries shall be revealed, that we shall trade our crosses for crowns, and the joy of our salvation will fill our spirits in a way that we never imagined possible. Yes, heaven will be worth it all. And finally, brethren, I want to go to heaven because I don't want to go to hell. We really have one of two choices, heaven or hell, and the choice is entirely up to us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, in John 14:6. I think of what the words of the song Amazing Grace says in verse 5. Bill's going to lead us in that little few minutes. I want you to listen to these words. I want you to listen to these words in verse 5 of Amazing Grace. It says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. If you're not a Christian, and if you want to go to this wonderful place called heaven, listen to what you must do in order to gain eternal life. You must repent of your sins. You must confess your faith that Jesus is the Christ, is the Son of the living God, because He is. Then you must be baptized, immersed in water, for the remission of your sins, as the 3,000 Jews did on the day of Pentecost when they asked Peter what they needed to do to be saved. He commanded them, understand, He didn't suggest, He commanded them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's Acts 2 and verse 38. And if you've done these things, after you've done these things, you will then be added by the Lord to the church of Christ, the church that Jesus died for and built, the only church you read about in the Bible. Then you must remain faithful until death, and then you'll receive that crown of life that Jesus promises, heaven. There may be some here today who have taken these steps, but you've wandered from the Lord. You know, if you have, this is a good time to take care of it. This very morning, you need to take care of it. You do that by coming forward when we sing the invitation song. And let us pray with you and pray for you. I want to leave you with this thought. Jesus has already done the hard part. He hung on that cross for us. Died a humiliating death. He was mocked. He was scourged. He was beaten. He was spit at. He did it all so that we could have that hope of eternal life. If you miss heaven, you missed it all. If you miss heaven, you have missed everything. You missed everything. Think about that. Please come if we can help you in any way as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.